that love means, what that gift means. Lord, open our ears to understand, open our eyes to see, and Lord, touch our feet that we'll be quick to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And again, welcome. Several have come in a little later, and that's great. We're so glad that you are here this evening. The theme of tonight is the greatest gift. The greatest gift. Christmas, of course, in our culture, is replete with gift giving. But what does this gift mean to each of us here tonight? Well, let me say this as we talk about God's gift. Every father to be, whether you're about to be or have been, you understand the importance of these words. You wait 9 months to hear these words. It's time. And you know immediately after planning, preparing, and hoping, and wishing, and dreaming for 9 months, you can't wait for those words. But when they finally come, the reality of your dreams become real. You're going to be a dad. And it doesn't matter if it's for the first time, the second time, the third time, or the umpteenth time. It's always an experience that is new. All of a sudden, your emotions are mixed with elation and mind-numbing terror. I'm going to be a dad? Now, most of you know that Sue and I have 3 children. Phil, who is our oldest, lives in Nanaimo with his wife and 2 of our most beautiful, cutest, precious grandchildren in the whole world. Esther is our 2nd child. She is our daughter, and she was married last summer. And I talked to them earlier tonight, and of course, we're on Skype. And my brother-in-law pipes up, "Hey, Ralph, did Esther tell you she's expecting?" And of course, I dropped my phone. And Esther goes, "Uncle Dom, no, I'm not." And I just said, "Honey, there's only one way that you can solve that." And then, of course, there's Michael. Many of you here who attend Highway Christian Fellowship, you've already probably met Michael. He usually sits up in the sound booth or in the back, about 6 yay tall, about yay wide, and about yay very single, ladies. And as each of my 3 children have their own unique characteristics, their births were just as unique for each and every one of them. But the one child that probably stands out to me, the one birth that stands out to me more than anyone, was Michael's. You see, it was 27 years ago tonight. We were gathered together in a small little country church in Gracefield, Quebec. That was about 2 hours north of the city of Ottawa. In the middle of nowhere, we were waiting for my mom and dad to come. They had hoped to make the Christmas Eve service, but a snowstorm delayed them. But when they finally came, we had all of the arrangements made. The table was all set. The tree was set up. We had gifts under the tree. Everything was ready. Philip and Esther, they couldn't wait to see Papa and Grandpa. Mama and Grandpa, I forget what they used to call them. But they couldn't wait to see Grandma and Grandpa. And Sue, I noticed, was a little bit more energetic than she normally is. And she was busy going through every single little corner of the house and getting everything all set up. And I said, honey, is there anything I can help you with? No, I'm fine. And she kept going and going like the ever ready bunny. And when my mom and dad got there, and mom is the kind of person that likes everything done decently and in order. And she said to Sue, Sue, why don't you sit down and relax? And Sue said to mom, I can't, mom. I'm in labor. My mother, no joking. My mother says to Sue, don't worry, sit down and it'll go away. We made it through. We made it through supper. We made it through the gift exchange. And right after that, we put on our coats, got in our car, and drove about an hour and 15 minutes down to the hospital in Wakefield, Quebec, where Michael entered this world and our lives were forever changed. Because that's what babies do, don't they? We call them a gift. Life's most precious gift is our children, is our grandchildren. No one here will deny that. They may cause us to pull our hair out, but we love them more than anything. They are the greatest gift. Well, there is not just like there's no greater gift than a child. There was no greater gift given to humanity than when God gave his one and only son for us. What makes a gift so great? We've all spent the last several weeks making sure that we got just the right present for the right people. But what makes a gift that special, that we would call it great? Well, first of all, it would be a personal gift. A gift that is addressed to you and to you alone. I heard an embarrassing story of a family that got together, and as they were all getting together, opening their presents, little Johnny opened up his gift and he looked at it, and it was something that he never expected. And he was so excited at getting this gift, and he jumped up and down and he went to his auntie and said, Auntie, thank you so much for this gift. And she looked at him and said, oh, honey, I'm sorry, that's a mistake. That's meant for your other cousin. But we want a gift. And a gift that is great is a gift that is given to us and given to us personally with our name on it. Another thing that makes a gift great is that it's a practical gift. A gift that is useful. If you're a contractor, a builder, and maybe you're expecting that special tool, and you open up the present, you don't expect to have Fisher Price written on the label of whatever that tool is. You want that gift to fit the purpose for which it's going to be given, that it will be a practical gift, that it will be a useful gift. But not only do we want it to be practical and personal, but we expect it to be a pleasing gift, that it will be a gift that it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference in your life. And not only a gift that is pleasing, but a gift that is permanent. I think we've all had the experience of having gifts that have rusted out, worn out, or have eventually broken. We watched a movie, Christmas movie, the other night called Mrs. Santa Claus. And it's a story of Mrs. Santa Claus who's had it up to here with her husband, who's busy with a gazillion children all year long but has no time for her. So she decides to fly off to spend some time by herself. And she ends up in New York City. And while there, she's just having a grand old time, just blessing people and serving people and helping people. She gets a job at a toy factory. And they make her in charge of the toy factory. Unfortunately, this toy factory was run by a very unscrupulous individual whose motto was this, as the children made these toys, remember this, it only has to last till Christmas. We've all had those kind of gifts, haven't we? And we've all been disappointed at those gifts that were so shiny in its box, but in no time, they got antiquated, out of style, out of date. What makes a gift great? I want to share with you tonight four reasons why God's gift is the greatest gift that you and I can ever receive. And it all flows from one singular verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. What makes a gift so great? Well, to begin with, God's gift is personal. For God so loved the world. Did you hear that tonight? Oh, we know God is love. We understand that, yes, God, if he is up there, and some of us may question that, we understand if he's there, yes, he's a God of love. But think about this. God so loved the world. Well, that's okay, Pastor. After all, it's a large world. Of course, he's going to love this world. Let me say this. Put this in your mind. For God so loved Ralph that he gave his one and only son, that if Ralph believes in him, he shall not perish, but have eternal life. It makes a difference when you put your name in that verse, doesn't it? All of a sudden, it's not just an expansive, impersonal gift, a nameless gift. All of a sudden, it's a name, it's a gift with your name on it. It's a personal gift. It's a great gift. And if you want to know what a great gift is, then it will also be a practical gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We expect the gift that we received at Christmas time to be useful, to make a difference. When God gave his son, he gave the most practical gift anyone could give. For when God sent his perfect gift, his son Jesus, it was not just practical, but it was a gift that would meet our most deepest need. It was a gift that met a need that we never could. Let me tell you a story. From the very beginning, God created man. In fact, of all of his creation, all of the rivers, the animals, the creeping things on the ground, even the spiders and mosquitoes, the oceans, the mountains, in all of God's creation, when he created man, do you know what he said? Do you remember what he said from your Sunday school? He said it was very good. He didn't say that at all about spiders. And he definitely didn't say it about cats. He might have been tempted to say it about dogs. But of all his creation, God says it is very good. And from the beginning, it was God's intention that you and I would live in a perpetual relationship with him forever. But then something happened that marred that relationship. Man chose to do his own thing. And believing he could make it on his own, he chose to disregard God's express command. And the result was that the relationship was broken. Because of sin. Sin separated him from the love that God wanted his most prized creation to know. And try as man might to rediscover that love, he could never rediscover it on his own. He tried through good deeds. He tried through education. He tried through money, pleasure, and the good life. But nothing would work. He still kept falling short of God's glorious standard. Nevertheless, God did not scold him. He pursued a love relationship with him. God showed his great love initially by sending us his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. In fact, not only was Jesus a gift, the practical gift, it was a gift given in love when we didn't even deserve it. Jesus restored that relationship because even while we were still sinners, he died for us. And he met our deepest need. There was a poem that I read even just today that highlights this truth. It's called The Pit by Kenneth Philkins, and let me read it to you. A man fell into a pit and could not get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, "I feel for you down there." An objective person came along and said, "It's logical that someone would fall down there." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into pits." A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on the man's pit. Confucius said, "If you had listened to me, you wouldn't be in that pit." Buddha said, "Your pit is only a state of mind." A realist said, "That's a pit." A scientist calculated the measure necessary, the PSI, to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata of the pit. A tax mall asked if he was paying taxes on the pit. The council inspector asked if he had a permit to dig the pit. An evasive person came along and avoided the subject of the pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." An optimist said things could be worse, and a pessimist said things could get worse. But Jesus came along, seeing the man, took him by the hand, and lifted him up out of the pit. And that's why Jesus' gift is great. It's personal. It has your name on it. It's practical. It meets our deepest need. And if you want that great gift, it should be also a pleasing gift. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. When man turned his back on Father God, he chose the hard way of death and eternal separation from God's love. That was the punishment for sin. For the wages of sin is death. But, I can't tell you, the most incredible word in this verse is that word, but. Because if it had been you or I who had written this verse, we would have put a period where it says that man shall perish. We would have put a period there because we would have said man deserves what he gets. But God doesn't put a period. He puts a but. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And how does this happen? It happens when we choose to believe in him. Whoever believes in him, this means that this gift is available to all who would seek him and acknowledge their need. The rich, the poor, the uneducated, the scholar, men and women. You put your name in this verse. For God so loved Ralph, Mary, Robert, Nils, Susan, Michael. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Jesus, he will not perish. All because of God's great gift. Jesus came and paid the price for our sin. And when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says we will be saved. Isn't this a great gift? Folk, I have to tell you, there's no greater gift that anyone could ever receive. Jesus took the death that we deserved so that he might transfer life to us. He took our sin that he might transfer to us his righteousness, and he gives us right standing before a holy God. But is it a permanent gift? Will it last? Well, I've got good news for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You can bank on this gift. It's a once and for all, forever gift. And it's offered to you and to me. When God sent his perfect gift, it was permanent. Forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, the future, everything is in him if we'll choose to believe. How can I receive this great gift? Let me tell you a humorous story. Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents. At bedtime, the two boys knelt beside their beds to say their prayers. The youngest one began praying at the top of his lungs. I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new Nintendo. I pray for a new laptop. His older brother leaned over and nudged his younger brother and said, "Why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf." To which the little brother replied, "No, but Grandma is." I've got good news for you all tonight. God's not deaf. He's only a prayer away. So why not call on him now? Why not call on him tonight? Why not ask him for forgiveness? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not believe and trust in him? Put your trust in him as your hope of salvation. And when you do, you know what happens? This is what happens to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name. He gives the right to become the sons and daughters of God. You become a child of God the moment that you receive Christ into your life. So why not confess him as your Lord today? For if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, becoming a Christian isn't merely reciting a creed, attending church twice a year. It isn't doing all those good things that we ought to do anyway. God wanted to make it so simple that the youngest child could even grasp this. And the people here at Highway have heard my testimony. It was this verse that captivated me to the love of God. And it was this verse as a young boy in Sunday school that I said, yes, I'm going to believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Being a Christian, living as a Christian isn't easy. But becoming a follower of Christ is simple. It's simply praying and asking, believing, and committing yourself to him. With every head bowed and eye closed, and the worship team can come back to the platform as we get ready to sing our final song. You may be here tonight, and maybe you're here, you were invited by a family member, you were invited by a friend, maybe you came to one of our movie nights, I don't know. And maybe you've heard the Christmas story, or maybe you haven't. But all you know is that tonight, you need to know that Jesus is your Savior, your sins are forgiven. Maybe you're here tonight and it's been a long time since you've ever conversed with God. Maybe you've, at one time, you ascended to Jesus' lordship, but it hasn't changed your life. Maybe tonight would be the night that you would obey that prompting in your heart that would say, right now, at this moment, give your life to me, and it'll never be the same. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me from your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving me and forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Right now, take control of the throne of my life. Make me the person you have destined me to be, and help me to follow you the rest of my life. Amen. Hallelujah.